difficult about what he is not so much the interpretation of the single passage, but the structural pattern. Sometimes we are under the impression that there is a week there where no continuity from one part of the Godhead to another. And the most difficult part is the first one. Let us just investigate the structure of the Godhead, the composition. What would you say? I mean, when I say Godhead, I mean Godhead embraces figures in the recital of the second cast, Zeke Samozerin and Hallel, that we recite over the. But now let us limit the term Godhead to the recital which is related to the second cast. It means from Manishtano or Abodimoyino until Goal Nisroy. In that effect, the Rambam says, Dvorim Eilu Nisroy Nagoda. As beginning with Abodimoyino and concluding with Goal Nisroy. The structure of this part, this is the most difficult part. This is just a moment. It's not six characteristics of Sefer. Nor is Halal Nishmas, which is a title of the fourth part. Unique. How the site every Yontes, and Mishmas every Yontes and Shabbat. But the recitation of the second part confronts us. And it's hard to find continuity at first glance. Let us take a look. If you will take the middle part, beginning with Avodim Ayinu and concluding with Baal Yisroel, and try to divide it into sections. Into how many sections will you divide them? Will you write these parts? How many sections? How many units? Of course, the whole, the Avodim is a composite unit, composite entity. It's not a organically united entity. It's a composite entity, no doubt about it. And there is, the author makes a leap from one realm into another, no doubt about it. We cannot speak about just smooth continuity. It's a composite entity. But how many sections? How many sections is the Avodim Ayinu, the recitation of the story, beginning with Avodim, and concluding with Goal Yisroel consists of. What would you say? I'd like to hear a suggestion from the audience. Yes, microphone? Yeah, I say, give me a number first. Three or five. Now tell me how did you arrive at it. And you retrace the footsteps of the author of the Godhead. Backwards, I would like it to know. Yes, the Matthew, the pedagogical Matthew. The last section. The first, I told you to go backwards, to move backwards. From Goal Yisroel to Avodim Ayinu, in the opposite direction. In a retrogressive direction. A retrogressive direction. I don't know, you said three sixes. No one to two, but what is fine? I say, in retrogressive direction. Well, no. The last thing you said is what? The first part is Shire Hallel, the hymnal part. The first part, just a moment, no, not Ulsifa. The first part is the hymnal part. The part which consists of praise and fear. And thanksgiving. How will they write? The hymn of thanksgiving part. Next. No, it's not a separate unit. There's no need to count it as a separate unit. What is the middle part? No. The middle part is the narrational part, the narrative. It begins, it concludes with what? it concludes the narration of our narrative, the story itself. The four sequences of writing the story of the Exodus. It begins in what? Commences in what? You know, Arami Vidori. Kriyul Maad Madhiki Klovan Arami Lassus Yaakov Adin. Arami Vidori. We recite the passage of Arami. We do interpret this passage. Until the Tzacha Dash Bahav. Then we say also Rabbi Gamliel. Gamliel is also a main part of the Sipayetis Israel. But Gamliel refers to the symbolic meaning of the three basic mitzvahs of the night of Pesach, namely Pesach Matzah. But the part of the narrational section of Sipayetis Israel. That's the second. What is the third? What? I would say it's more than Aloha, certainly it's Aloha. Many laws certainly make it people in business right. But more than that, it is actually, what shall I say, it is the philosophical, what shall I say, in that part we discuss certain basic principles. Philosophical principles, moral principles, which form the root, or the foundation of Sipayetis Israel. Without formulating those principles, or without accepting certain premises, it's like a postulate of axiomatic, so to say, validity. It cannot be questioned. You either accept it or reject it. You certainly do accept, which form the very foundation of Sipayetis Israel. Without stating those postulates, those axiomatic truths, it would be impossible to go on the generation of Sipayetis Israel. Of course, the first part contains Alochis as well, no doubt about it. Yeah. This is the three parts. The first part is not difficult at all. Well, where does the first part begin? Now we are marching in the right direction. It's progressive direction. Well, where does the first part begin? We hold the other day, Chai Vodom Lira Shatak Nekir Yotam Mitzrayim, the Tikha Nachta Chayom Lira Shlau and Shabeach, and Hallel, two parts of Hallel, Al-Lufu Al-Lu Abdi Adishem, the Tikha Shlau and Mitzrayim, and Asha Golon Esha Vesayim, Shabu Al-Lon Esha. This is the so-called hymnal part. It's very simple. The only question which I would raise, I would like you to interpret it, or help you interpret it, is split the Hallel into two parts. They're not equal parts. Actually, for the first part of the body, we have borrowed just two psalms from the Hallel. All the soul, all the Hashem, will be teaching soil in the soil. While for the fourth part, we have left the rest. That consists of a number of psalms. From Lilonu down to Ego Hashem Kishnish Lelom Chasra. It's quite a lot. What's the difference between the two sections that we recite over the second course and the rest of the Hallel, the balance of the Hallel, which is being recited over the fourth course? Is there any difference? It was not just a split. Incidental split. Apparently, the rest fits more into the context of the fourth stuff. By the first two chapters, the first two psalms are related to the second stuff. This is the cup of the agore. Yes. What's the difference? Yes, I know those answers, I know. What's the difference semantically, yes, to the content of Hallel? What's the difference? No? That I know, that I've known for the last 75 years. What's the difference? You arrive at that, but it's not easy to say. If you try to analyze the various chapters, You see, the first two chapters, are purely thanksgiving and hymnal chapters. It's praise and praise exclusive. There is not a single petition or a single request or any kind of intercession or imploring God. It is Shevach Leidoye exclusively. There is nothing else but Shevach Leidoye. You speak about past events which occurred, very important events which are inseparably connected with our destiny. Then you say, because it's from Mitzrayim, it's Yachim Amrei, or it's from the Kochi. You describe how people who were downtrodden, oppressed, in bondage, and in servitude, have been suddenly raised to high level of freedom, and a new nation was born. This is from Oysu Lekoshi, a nation, a chosen nation, a holy nation, a nation in whose midst HaKadosh Baruch Hu resides. This is the content. So, of course, those two sections fit beautifully into the context of the Agbada. Just Shevach Leidoye. The sounds, family long with doubt, sounds smooth or happy, in a mitzvah to us before, and on la vishem ishiyono, on la vishem atrichono, you know, really they are very strange, namely, why are they strange? They're very strange. As a matter of fact, sometimes I ask myself, why were those chapters, those sections, I mean, integrated into Hallel? Yeah. Perhaps there is more petition than praise. The feeling motive are interwoven into the texture of praise, there is it. You don't find praise alone there. Only praise. Only singing, so to say. Only thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, and the next verse, you ask for something. It is somehow a people who was delivered and liberated, and still is not free, is not completely free. And ask for God's protection, that we should shield the people. To take, for instance, my Lama Hashem Lama, and Shim Chotin Tovid, Lama Yimra Gei Mayin Lama Kaya. As a matter of fact, it contradicts the whole spirit of Yitzhiyas Mitzrayim. Yitzhiyas Mitzrayim, Yodam Yitzrayim, Kani Hashem, God's name was glorified and exalted. Everybody admitted that God is omnipotent, God is omnipresent. No one can violate, can act contrary to his will. And suddenly you ask the question, Lomu Yim Ragei Mayim Alehiyem? Lepinim HaShemayim, Kira Tafa Mishoto. And then after you see the Tachnuri, Ki Tereza, Yafufuni Chev Lemoget, Mitzor Eshei, Mitzor Uni, Mitzor Ovi Yogi Nemso, Mishim Alifeneko. On Eshem Maut and Nafshi, it's completely different. Completely different. Basically, you had it. There is no pure praise in our liturgy. For a simple reason, there cannot be pure praise without tefillah. Because the halacha is as the Mishnah has formulated in a way. Maybe our other, he praises God and thanks him for past events which already occurred, which were of great significance to the individual who is Paul Abba. And he prays and petitions God for the future. But the man is never secure. I'm not secure that I'm going to have it. And the fact that I'm happy now does not mean that I'll be happy the next day. Now you understand why the Hallel was divided into such manner? Because into the first part of that body, the element of Tefillah was not introduced at all. The first part of the body, after you see the narration الساحة جاز بخام وما بنضيعه ونسير الكسرة لحنا حجان الله يجي طلعه اللي هي only one duty يعني just obligated what to do نسير الله يجي طلعه ويشابه يخوى الفوية لغنية to glorify and to follow and to pray and to give thanks nothing else, no petition, no skill and nothing forget for a while that you are human beings and the difference is that I went through many more experiences and not only start with experiences who are very pleasant and that we were avoiding by the number of times perhaps under conditions much worse than the conditions that prevailed in Israel. We brought millions of sacrifices. There was so much blood, so much martyrdom. The first time we forget all about it. Just pray. And actually, the sections which consist exclusively of praise. Of him will pray without any, without any petitional motive. Are only those. Choice you go to the hollow, you find out. This was Min HaMitzvot Rosh HaChodesh. At first, the interesting phrase is again, it's a chapter just a phrase exclusively. But then right at the end here, you say, Ze'ayim, no. See, I said it wouldn't be so bad. Ze'ayim, Hashem, I didn't live for a day. So you mean, it culminates in an outcry of joy, in the shouting of the happy person. But right away, you say, Ona, Hashem, Mishir, Hashem, Atzuchah. It's a part of the chapter of Min HaMitzvah. But printed now for doing a big letter, that means it's a separate chapter. It's a part of the chapter of Min HaMitzvah. Where is here the leap? Inside your generous leap, the leap into a different realm, where there is no continuity at all. You just say, Hey, I mean, Moshe Hashem, the gil of this moment. Everything has been achieved. Finally, the greatest and the joy of joy, the day of joy, of joy in heaven. And grief. But at the very instant, when you achieve the height of grief, of generousness, you feel how unhappy one is, and how insecure he is, and how much help is going from God. You feel on the same issue, you know. So, on the fourth half, we recite not only Hallel, but Hallel and Tefillah as well. Petition and praise. We not only give thanks to the Lord, we intercede with him as well. Not only shout of joy, but an outcry of pain as well. Very strange. It is a quite a dialectical, the structural patterns are dialectical. There's an inner contradiction. The happy person feels that he still needs much help and salvation. This is the thesis, the antithesis. The antithesis is on the Shemeshina. That's the fourth cut. Why did did Chazal choose those sections for the fourth cut? Now the answer will be. But the fourth cut is not related to the theater side. The fourth cut is related to the final act of redemption, which will usher in the Messianic as well as the eschatological era. When the ruler will be complete, and all promises consummated, and no pledges on the part of God will be fulfilled. So now, we are still in need of the ruler, the greatest of all rulers, namely the Messianic redemption. That's why the chapter Psalms doing that. Don't consist of pure praise, but there is a mixture of praise and petition, of joy and fear, of happiness, at the same time of distress. Very strange, very strange. The happy person, one instant he says, Where you must have no deal of this holiday, the next instant he says, Another semi-fear. That's why Hallelujah was divided into those two parts. All right, so you have two, three parts, fine. Now let me ask you another question. So actually the narratives of the so-called the fabular PCS Mitzrayim, the narrational part, is in the center, right? It begins with Rana Vidori and concludes with what? With Rabbi Gamliel, correct? Now I would ask you another question. The idea, the inference which I want to derive from it, probably known to you, can I say it many times. If we were permission to write the Agoda, what would we do? If you and I were permission to write the Agoda, how would we write the Agoda? Yes? What? I mean, sir. No, it is that. Agoda is before it is Mitzrayim. I would just take out the region there, and you would say, there's a story what happened, not the history of what happened, there's a story. How would you write Agoda? Right, I don't say right. How would you organize Agoda? How would you organize Agoda? If we were committing to this, how would you do it? Do? Answer. Your cooperation tonight. What do you say? What would you say? I don't hear. So what would you do? What would you do, Tom? Tell me now, you are committed right now, but what would you do? As a matter of fact, I don't know now, but I know at the beginning, there was a tendency, the mere beginning, to do so. And the beginning has excommunicated all those who were tempted to do so. And they said they are throwing at the caution out. Yeah? But what was? Yes? What do you say, Michael, sir? Correct? I would decide what this is right, I'm going, I wouldn't write at all. I should not try myself. I would bring a human person and tell the people to start finishing the soil and to finish this the end of day. The full story of the fears, the trial in every detail, the history of the background of every slave in the end. Basically, we don't tell any stories of the fears. There's no story of the fears. As a matter of fact, the Gaining Nation, some people are close to the Terrorites themselves, and organized different systems in such a manner. They used to read the book of Exodus, the perfect story of the Terrorist Mitzvah. What else? No, we didn't do that. As a matter of fact, what do you say about this Mitzvah? In a few words, I hear the Spanish who want to rob, I knew it's on this, the evil of Israel, the pressure, the son of Israel, 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 the son of Israel. It's not the story of Israel. It's not the story of Israel. The story, it's not even synopsis. It's not even synopsis. As a matter of fact, it is the Parsha Arami Eri Dovi. Instead of choosing sections, I wouldn't say too long, some place down to the end of the day, this is the full text of the story, how it came to Mitzrayim, how they were oppressed, where, I mean, they turned into slaves, then, I mean, there is the narration, the story of the martyrdom, torture they were exposed to and so forth, and then later commission, I mean, to take out, and the plagues to be prepared, I mean, and the whole story of what happened at the night, on the night of Pesach, Yidba Chassi Alaylo, Hashem Yotol Mitzrayim, in the whole story, we have eliminated everything. We just took Arami Vidovi. Do you know what Arami Vidovi is, kind of a part, what kind of a section is it, Arami Vidovi? Does anyone of you know what kind of a section of Rami Vidori is? It is in Dvorim. In Dvorim. In what connection is it mentioned in Dvorim, Rami Vidori? Huh? There are two mitzvahs. Mitzvahs to bring Bikurim, the first grown fruit, into the Talmidish, given to the Cain. Another mitzvah is when you bring Bikurim, you have to read a parsha, a certain section. What section? Avame le dove la yera di Mitzrayim la yisham le geigodel ot rabot. Apparently, our figures, Chazal, have found the common denominator in Nitro Bikurim and in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that's what made them decide the proper framework of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim would be Arame Ledovi, not Parsha Shmei Yisroel Odeh. What is the common denominator in Bikurim plus the cycle of the Parsha Arame Ledovi and Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? What's the common denominator? The first thing, it is not only Maimonides says it in Nevi Nevuchim, but it was developed, this theory was developed by the Sefer Achilah. Speaking about Mitzvah Bikurim and Tzvias HaParsha, he advanced the following thought, namely. No, but what is the common denominator? The ideological common denominator, or I would say the moral common denominator. Yes. You just don't let me say it. No, think of it today. For me, you know what. What is the common denominator? No. This is already the way you interpret Arame Ledovi. But there is apparently, since Chazal is borrowed, actually, is borrowed at Parsha, which the Tere has completely formulated vis-à-vis another occasion completely. Namely, the occasion of what? Not of celebrating the Exodus, but of offering our first fruit to the cave. Yes. I felt that the common denominator in both mitzvahs. Yes, somebody raises his hand. Yes, there's logic. Yeah, again, but a little closer. I mean, you are coming closer, but it's not yet. Go ahead. Gratitude for something great and unusual. Namely, in Mikra Bikurim, why do you express gratitude? Gratitude for what? What happened? That we are grateful to God for this war. There's a sign, a manifestation of gratitude when you bring the first fruit into the Beit HaMikdash. What were you grateful for? I know if you knew Arame Ledovi well by heart, you would tell me, huh? By Veinu El Ores Azeh Al Mochim Azeh Azeh Eretz Zov Az Chol Avodot. Anyway, for Matna Torah, the gift of the land, the gifts of the land, gratitude for the gifts of the Zohar is bestowed upon the Jews of the people to give them Eretz Yisrael. The gifts of the land. This is what Mitzvah Bikurim, this is actually, I mean, the symbolic expression of gratitude and recognition and acknowledgement of the grace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu by giving Eretz Yisrael to the Jews. So what is the fierceness? Then what is the purpose of the Yetzias Mitzrayim? So the purpose of the Purim, the central theme, the central motif of the Purim is Yetzias Mitzrayim. What is it? Or as you just said it, Aforah Seif means call it gratitude, loyalty, acknowledgement, recognition, whatever it is. Aforah Seif. This is the central theme, the central motif in Avoah and the Purim. And what is the central motif in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? Is the Sipur the ultimate end? The narration? No. Again, L'tzifoch anachnu chayovim lehidus l'aleh. Of course, in order to express gratitude and thanks for the Baruch Hu, you have to tell the story, otherwise no one will know why you are thankful. You have to tell the story. But telling the story serves another purpose, a higher purpose. Namely, what purpose? Expression of gratitude. In order to extol and to glorify and to praise his name and to give thanks unto him, who has done all those miracles to us, unto us, and unto our forefathers. Right? And then, those Eretz Yisrael play an important role in as far as the Yetzias Mitzrayim is concerned, certainly. The matter of Chazal spoke of four gules, but there is six gules also, namely Vaveshi. they taste it, they salt it, they go out it, they not touch it, that is. That's why when you bring the Turin, you tell the story of the tears of trial to a Rame and Edoli. So it's quite natural. In the Torah has burdened the lady before him, the Jew, the pilgrim who brings the Purim into the text. And the burden brings his obligation of what? Of what? To express thanks, not only for this, for the gift of the land, maybe, but for the Exodus as well, because the Exodus was the prologue for the day, or the introduction to be authorized. Without the Exodus, there wouldn't have been any be authorized. The Jews would have never obtained their Exodus. So if the mitzvah, if the lady Gifurim was burdened with the mitzvah, the name of what? The express sense. Not also, first of all, for the gifts of the land bestowed upon him. Secondly, for if he has to try. So if we are about to thank God for your fierce Mitzrayim, we have to associate it, connect it, to link it up with what? With the gifts of the land. So basically, the obligation on us to thank God on the night of Pesach, and the obligation and the duty, which is the duty of the Lady Bitturin, of the pilgrim who brings the Purim into the sanctuary, to express again the gratitude of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, are equated. And if the Torah has formulated the parsha of Arame Vedovi as the proper means or mission of expression of gratitude for Mitzrayim and the land, and the gift of the land, so whenever a Jew has to express gratitude, whether the emphasis is upon the gift of the land, like in the case of the Lady Bitturim, it's only a difference of emphasis, nothing else. Or the emphasis is upon the Exodus, as it is the case with the Jew on the night of Pesach, so there should be one medium for both of them. Namely, what is the medium? Arami Eivedon. This is the answer. Arami Eivedon. Is apparently that the Torah was not very much interested in the details of the story. Neither with regard to the Lady Bitturim, nor pertaining to Cyprian Cesar Israel. So in what was the Torah interested? Not in detail. And the Torah wanted details, the detailed story. So the Torah would have burdened the Lady Bitturim with what? With reciting the Parsha of Shmei Yisro, Obey. Apparently, the detail is not important. How much blood there was in Egypt, and how much the Egyptians suffered from the frogs, and vermin, and so on. The Torah was not interested in that. So what was the Torah interested in? You see, the fact they have chosen Arame Vedovi is because they found the parsha in the Chumash serving the same purpose which we pursue on the night of Pesach. Namely, to thank God for the gifts of the land, the gifts of freedom bestowed upon us, and the Torah has chosen the parsha Arame Vedovi as the proper medium of expression, correct? So the Torah was not interested, apparently, in narration as such, in telling a long, long, long story. No, not so. Not at all. So what was the Torah concerned with? The Torah said, we died for the Vilfa by Yimahul, eh? What was, yes? Yes, yes, but what was it concerned with God for Vilfa, yes? This is the purpose, this is the ultimate goal, correct? But, of course, I would say that in order to pray and to give thanks to the Baruch Hu, the detailed story is of great significance. The more detailed the story, the more inspired I'll become, and I'll express my gratitude in ecstatic terms. What was the Torah interested? What do you say? Jesus, well, I was about to say that. You could know no relationship to what you are. You know. As a matter of fact, what the Torah was concerned to be is not so much to tell the story of the Exodus, but to study the story of the Exodus. If we see the trial is not the story of the Exodus. Where it? Then you would reach faith from beginning to end, to the end of faith. It is the study of the story of the Exodus. There's a difference between narrating a story and studying it. What's the difference between narrating a story and studying a story? An event, you can narrate an event and not study it. You may study an event without narrating it. I mean, there is a minimum of narration which is indispensable, of course. But you can study an event without narrating it. What's the difference? What yes? Correct. Correct. This is the principle. This is the universal motif and eternal meaning that you have. If I narrate events which lie in the past. If I study the meaningfulness and the, what shall I say, and the significance of the events to us. When one writes history, he doesn't have to write all details. If somebody would write all details, what shall I say about the Yagas of the Ram, write all details. We don't know many details about it. Write every day what the Ram had, what kind of a menu the Ram had. This would be no history. Well, if you write about a Ram biography, what do you write? What do you leave out and what do you take in? So you don't write that Ram got up to see Eddie's diary. You could find it. We are very little at all. We cannot narrate, we cannot make a good study. But anyway, you wouldn't write that Ram got up on Tuesday at 7 o'clock in the morning, we went to bed at 11:30. And on a Wednesday, you got up 8 o'clock in the morning, went to bed, 1:30 in the morning. It's completely irrelevant. What do you write? You write history. You write a biography, autobiography. What do you write? You write what is significant and important, what is outside of time and space. But the Rambam not is a temporal being, but the Rambam is a representative of Pirush HaBalpeh. He has never died. He's still alive with us. As a great teacher. That's what you write. And the famous rule, I mean. You see us with Mitzrayim, we are not interested some in each event the way it was in detail described in Shmei. Of course, we should have spoken about Dam separately and Sabin separately and Kilim separately. And so forth and on. We hardly mention the matter. In the Jews enumerate them quickly by spilling the wine from the pot, from the cup. Actually, you don't see what was the Makkah's dam like, what kind of a plague was it, what happened. Dam, what's that? What happened to that? What a talent to dam or something else, I mean. Because we are not interested. What we are interested? The mere God of the Jewish Hine. Ani v'le'acher, ani ad Hashem v'le'acher, ani v'le'ashaliach. We are not interested so much in the events as we are interested in the ideas, in the moral material which we are involved in the exercise. Things which are meaningful to us until this day. The Tirs Mitzrayim, the Tirs Mitzrayim is not a narration of Mitzrayim, it is a study of Mitzrayim. In simple words, the Tirs Mitzrayim is Talmud Torah. you study not with them. It is simply a needless sound material. As a matter of fact, it is safety says that one is bound, is duty bound, to study not only the events which happened in the time, but the Hilchei Kateva, the laws of faith. We have a story about Maite Brav Lezer, Rabbi Shura, Rabbi Tav, who was in the Nevrak, where he was suffering the fear of the time for his survival. It is said there is a different story. Maite Brav Gamliel, the Chavirov, who was in Subin, the Beizunin, place was, where you ask him, do you have a pesa? At you bought all the day in Vamura. If for instance to study Masechet Brochet, Masechet Sofin, the Lord Sofin is to master, to come to form Pesa, is a mean total part of the Tears of Troy. The Tears of Troy is not to tell the story of the Troy, but to study. And what is characteristic of study, which is not applicable to the story, is something else. You introduce Perosh about that. So there is no study of Perosh Mikhtar without associating it with Perosh about that. What do you do with Rame Lidori? What do you do with Rame Lidori? How do you say Rame Lidori? If you have never paid attention to it. Yeah, what do you do? What do you do first? ברמי ודולה ירד מצרימו. ליוגה היה כאילו להשתקיר מצרים או לא גורשו. איזה נתרש מקצב אותי זה. את הדרושת. באישום לגיגודל, מלמי, מלמי, שישראל מציוני משור, הגן את דרושת. עוצו, כמו שנאמר, זה תראה שמלפה. ורוא, נאמר רבורות, זה מחסות ומצלחת. It's interpretation of each word, which is very significant, and replete with meaning to us, not only to our knowledge of the events in the past, but to us, to our life now, with practical meaning. It's a combination of Perosh Mikhtar and Perosh Baalpeh. As a matter of fact, that under this aspect, we understand many things in the body. The body always begins, commences with a question. Pesach show you have a Sein Eichlin al Shemo. There is no need to say al Shemo. Pesach have a Sein Eichlin al Shepos Rafa Yisboch, but have a Sein Eichlin Metroyim. Say Umad, not big and slow in the Rambam last for you. What say Umad? The Rambam is going on. Always the question, it's a rhetorical question, of course. The rhetorical question, the Manishtan itself is the rhetorical question. The Manishtan well, the one who has this question knows the answer and Adem. You know that very well. The question is so-called rhetorical question. The rhetorical question is typical of Perosh Baalpeh. Ketad? Only the Gemara, the Mishnah last Ketad? The question and the answer is typical of the fact that Ketias Mitzrayim is not a narration of Mitzrayim, of the Exodus, but a study of the Exodus, or Talmud Eretz. The interesting is that the Gemara, we say in the Gode Chol Amar Belei Sapter Vitzias Mitzrayim, are they Meshubach? So the Rambam has substituted another phrase for that. The Chol Amar Bebidrash Tar Sezut. Whoever continues to interpret this parashah, in Aran Vedove, are they Meshubach? Chol Amar Bebidrash. Drash, you know what is Drash? Drash means Perosh Baalpeh, Midrash Chachamim, is actually, Yetzias Mitzrayim is basically Talmud Eretz. Of course, we have been commanded and instructed to study the Torah the whole year round. But on Pesach, there is another mitzvah of Talmud Eretz, an additional mitzvah of Talmud Eretz. On Pesach night, namely, to study what? All all aspects, pertaining to the other side. Halachic aspects, Gadic aspects. We interpret Arami the Dodi to explain certain sukkim, to resolve certain problems. Actually, what people see of the crime means Talmud Tere Belel Shemur. It sounds strange to people who are not used to it, but this is true. This is people you see as the Christ. It's a lailimut. Now let us continue with the text itself. This is just a few remarks about the structural pattern or something. In the first part, what is the first part? What does the first part, the second part consist of? Not of the story of the Christ, but as the drash of Yitzhak, the medrash Yitzhak Mitzrayim, or the study of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. It's Talmud Torah. Now let us read. We said that the first part is part of the basic principles. Avodim Oyinu Leshare Vimitroim. The simple context. By Yitzhayinu Adeshem Erkinu Mishom Viyot Chazoko Vizreya Nituyot. What principle is involved in that? By the way, in the first sentence we said, without isolating that principle for the inferring it from the few lines, we couldn't proceed with people in the society. What is involved here? What's involved here? The first sentence is that without isolating that principle for the inferring it from the few lines, we couldn't proceed with the policy of the trial. But what is involved here? What's involved here? Apparently, you have a kind of meeting secret time tonight, not night of session. The Gemara says secret is the time until it falls asleep, which you ask me, all of us could by now. I don't like the business. If I invite participation, I mean that you can answer. What is involved in Avodim Ayin Lefar and Mitzrayim? What is strange about this process? Avodim Ayin Lefar and Mitzrayim? Where is the process mentioned? Let's come. This is in answer, and answer to whom? In answer to whom? To both of us. Yeah. What does the process contain which is indispensable for the field? All right. No. Huh? There's no doubt about it. Correct. Should it be in the answer is Boyet Yishol for Din Chamocha 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 He said Avodim Oyu Adeshenu Lepara Mitroim Vayitim Adeshen Rekinu Mishom Biyot Chazoko Vizrayan. It's a very strange answer is given to him. Avodim Oyinu thousands of years later. It's a time is an event which lies in antiquity at the dawn of our history. We are removed from the years of time, I mean, by 3,500 years or more. What is by Yitzhayin Hashem Lekein Avodim Oyinu? We were not Avodim. So what is the answer? The old principle of what we restate that principle. We reiterate that principle. In the Haggadah later. Well, what principle is it? The Chaldeo Vodeo Chai Vodom L'Haris Alviris Etat Nikilu Yotzen Mitzrayim. It means the question is, first of all, before we start, telling the story of Mitzrayim. Before we start answering the son, I mean, about paternity, four questions, one question. Yeah. And before we start developing the whole theme of Yitzhak Mitzrayim and engage in the study of Yitzhak Mitzrayim, we lay down a premise, namely, what is the premise? What is the premise? I beg your pardon, what do you say? Correct, yes, what is the premise? Premise is full identification with past events. These generations, they have already vanished in Krishna and disappears from the Saraklavina thousands of years ago. Full identification. These are facts. Identification of the jewelry is fact. Any event is not just remembered, but also what? Not only remembered, but what is it, but what else, what else? We live the reaction. The reaction. It's re-enacted, re-staged, relive the reaction. This is the principle. The Jew is close to the past. This is true. No human being is as close to his past as a Jew. The Jew is close to his past. The truth is the attachment of the Jew to the past, from which he has been was removed 1900 years ago. The attachment is so strong, so dynamic, that is tremendous effect for now in the building, the reconstruction of the land, you know. I don't have to tell it to you. The Jew is close to his past, he relieves his past. The Jew's memory is not only intellectual memory or effectual memory, remembering facts, it's an experiential memory. He re-experiences the event. Not only the event of Gula, for instance, the event of Kurban Beit HaMikdash is not only remembered by us. Because if we just remembered Kurban Beit HaMikdash, there would be no need for what? There would be no need for what? For Aveles and Tisha B'Av, Aveles during the 3 weeks of fasting for 10 years. Would be no need of it. If you remember an event, you know, people remember. Everybody goes through sad experience. Alright, it's very upset at the beginning. It's shattered, shaken. But little by little, I mean, it sinks into oblivion. You may remember the fact. But the memory is not an experiential one, just a factual one. The Jew is blessed or burdened. I don't know what it is, a blessing or a burden. But it is either one. Either a blessing or a burden. Burdened or blessed is an experiential memory. He re-experiences it again. Events don't die for him. The events are living. Living experiences. He re-witnesses them. And relives them, re-experiences them. It's a body or yinu, the sarid and its voice. Then we right away interpret what I mean. What I mean. It's not my shot. We will lay a fear for this book of the sin of the prayer. We immediately interpret it. The emphasis is not upon a body so much as in Ojinu, who by Yitzhayu. This is the emphasis. This is the first postulate, which is indispensable in order to justify our celebration of the Exodus. Otherwise, the whole celebration makes no sense. We celebrate an event which is almost 4,000 years old. The world has been collapsed and has been destroyed and rebuilt and destroyed many times since the Exodus. Nations disappear, I mean, humanity changed completely. But as far as we are concerned, it is our experience. It's not only an event to be remembered, it's an event to be experienced and to be lived. This is Avodei Moyinu, Vesharei Ben Yitroi. And we interpret what we mean. Yilu Lehesi Akadosh Baruch Hu Sanfeinu Mitzrayim. That's exactly what we mean. Why do we have to emphasize it? Otherwise, the whole celebration would be somewhat meaningless. Unjustified, unguarded. It is celebration not of the gift of freedom bestowed upon our forefathers, but the story of our slavery and our freedom. As a matter of fact, you know very well, the Chachmei Kabbalah has developed as interpreted in Mitzrayim not only in historical terms, but in symbolic terms. If each individual goes through the destiny, which through the destiny of slavery, it's individually afraid. To whom, I mean? There's many masters, each individual. Many masters. Sometimes he's afraid to himself, his own self-love, his own selfishness, to his own narrow-mindedness, and to his own ignorance, and to his own arrogance, quite often. And there is a process of freedom which he goes through. HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps him to attain freedom. But anyway, you see, the Mitzrayim is not only a story of the past, it's a story of the present as well. We relive, we re-experience at both levels, at the national level and at the individual level. Yeah. There's something else to be honest with. Avodim oyinu lesare b'mitzroyim. You see the substitute at another phrase for avodim oyinu lesare b'mitzroyim. We would like to, I'll give you the other phrase, we would like you to answer me, but answer me, I mean. Since it's not a narration, it's a study, you may participate. If it were a narration, you would listen to the story, enjoy it, and I would do the narrating. Since it's not just a narration, I'm not telling a story. I'm trying to study it. It's exactly what the Torah wanted us to do even on the night of Pesach, during the Seder. So, it could have been another phrase in Hebrew. And the Torah uses this phrase quite often. Avodim oyinu lesare b'mitzrayim could have been superseded or replaced by another phrase. Avdei sare oyinu b'mitzrayim. You have it? Very simple. Avodim oyinu lesare b'mitzrayim could have been beautifully substituted by another phrase. Avdei sare oyinu b'mitzrayim. What's the difference between those two phrases? What's the difference between those two phrases? I mean, you got it? Yes? Hallelujah, hallelujah, avdei Hashem. You don't say hallelujah, hallelujah, avodim Hashem. You can say here in hallelujah too. Hallelujah, hallelujah, avodim Hashem. Just a minute. Oh, yevit vayimru avdei sare al sare. Adlosai. Yilamameki shalach es anoshim v'yal Hashem rekeim. Atam tida kolam devaret. From the Mitzrayim, excuse me. The term Avdei Sare is quite current, I mean, in the narrative of the biblical narrative. Why here is Avodim Oyinu Leisare in the Mitzrayim, and in Hallelujah you say, Halufo Alu Avdei Hashem. You can use the same phrase. Halufo Alu Avodim Hashem. Right, what did you want to say? You have the sari, have the sari in the plan. Yeah, but I don't see the difference. I just found somebody raising him over there. Yes. No, okay, no? Oh, what? I don't see it. All right, yes. No, I don't think. I don't know. That's my sentence. I'll just want to get you. What is there somewhere in the deck? Yes? What's the word? Yeah, you are coming slow. There's some movement. Yes? Yes, Moses. Avdei Sare would also be. Sare does not mean individual, no doubt about it. Sare is a state. It is Sare is an institution, nothing else. But I don't see what you want. Yeah, this is all right, it's closer to that. I mean, all right. What do you want? What else? Huh? What's the difference between the emphasis on power and emphasis on slave? What is worth? I'll have the same question. What's worth? What would be worth? Yes? Well, last year, one question, you see the answer. Let's say in Hebrew, let's say we're at a Hebrew school. My, Maho, you are listening. What were our ancestors? What were they? Who were they? Who were they? Who were they? If I have the Pharaoh, you know, the answer would be who you were about it. Well, whatever it means that Abdus Tare would become, what shall I say, a part of the personality. The Abdus would be characteristic of our existential awareness. It means, if you say, for instance, who is he? You say he's an individual. What do you, I'll give you another. You say, who is he? Your answer is an individual. Okay, endowed with freedom and intellect. Then I'll ask him, who is he? The answer is a rich man, blonde and has what I say, has a wealth suit, a good material. What's the difference? You can ask who is he and say he's a rich man. You can say who is he and say he's a capable man. What's the difference? Let me object to subject. You see, in the first answer, if you ask who is he, the answer is individual, you characterize him by what? By an attribute of his personality. By his very essence. The answer you give is the definition of he. Who is he? He is an individual. Or he is a human being. Or he is a moral being. And if you answer, who is he? Ask, who is he? You say, he is rich, he is powerful. If you answer by a circumstance, you characterize him by something incidental, not by something substantive, by something incidental. Ever studied philosophy? Other boys who studied Locke and Hume. I'm not English philosopher. You see, there are certain characteristics whose sum total makes up the substance of the thing. Some characteristics, I mean, it just, I mean, speak about extraneous properties, something which is incidental. If you ask me, you'll ask, who is he? And I'll say, he's a secretary, what shall I say, in the business office. This is my answer. The answer is not who is he, but what his station in life is. That's all. But if I'll ask, who is he? You'll say, he's clever, capable, he's kind, he's moral, he's creative. So I don't answer the question. So the who is he, the question is not what his station in social life is, but what is he himself? Substantively. The answer is substantive, not incidental. You understand me well? If you would answer, Abdi Farah, you know, the Jew has lost freedom, as if we had said the Jew has lost his personality, his quest for freedom. All he was is a slave. All he knew is slavery. All he knew was, I mean, how to flatter his master or the slave driver, in order to get on better terms with him. All he knew is the sirabosa, the fat of flesh. That's all, nothing else. If you say Abdi Farah, you know. But do you say Avodim or Yinul Farah? What does it mean? This is our social condition, as far as our social station in life is concerned. We must admit that we were slaves unto him. But the slavery was external. It has not destroyed our inner personality. Inwardly, we were questing for freedom. We are waiting for the day when freedom will be granted us. Inwardly, we remain Jews, the descendants of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We say, how we saw, how we have they are the same. What does it mean? Not about the one. Abdei Adichem means he asks, who is this individual? What's his substance? What's his essence? What's his ontological awareness. So what do you answer? All is the Avodah Hashem, the highest degree of perfection. All is the Avodah Hashem. All other interests, all other concerns are peripheral in comparison with this commitment to surrender to God. But if you say, my game will have the Sari al-Sari, correct? As far as Egyptians are concerned, only where? Only where? In the world, it was just slave. There was nothing else. The desire for freedom was extinguished. There was not left. I mean, just slavery. Slavery is life. Slavery became a way of life. With the tribe, became a modus of existence. This is what. But if you say, Avodim in the tribe, in a very economically, politically way, but inwardly, spiritually, existentially, we are not slaves. We are free people. You know, slavery is not only a social institution. Slavery is an existential psychological institution. Existentially, we are not slaves. We are free men. Circumstances of what made us into slaves to Paris. That is just extraneous. Slavery is something extraneous, which we have always resented. And we have never reconciled ourselves to slavery. You understand me? Yes, what do you want to ask? I don't understand that. I mean, now you want to ask a question? Oh, I said, really, I don't understand. So, interesting is something. When Moses witnessed the miracle of the burning bush, the Torah tells us ויער ווי אסנה ביער בויש ווי אסנה אין אונקל ויער אילו מלאך דשם די לאבאס איז מיט דער חסד ויימע מייש אסור נו ווי ער איז אמר ער גודל אז מדוע לגיב חסד דרש אין צעפ איז די לאבאס איז וואס לאבאס איז א מונד אינטערפרטיישן אז לאבאס איז מול פלאמע פייער דאס נו וואס דא פלאמע לאהוב אז איז לאהוב But Rashi interprets the Labba says blaze. It means the fire was in the center. Not the whole snare was aflame, but the fire was in the middle, in the center of the snare. You taste that snare. Bayar vin yasne beir boish, basne nen rupo is not always not consumed. The fire does not surround the whole bush. It's usually if a bush catches fire, in a few seconds, I mean, the bush will be all, I mean, aflame, a fire. But here it's so a certain miracle, not only the one pertaining to the fact that the bush was not consumed quickly by fire. The fire was in the middle of the snare, and the exterior of the snare was not a fire at all. And interesting is, האם המי שאסור לנו בארץ, אמר הגודל הזה, מדוע לעבר השנה? So many interprets know what is מדוע לעבר השנה, but the snare doesn't burn. It did burn with fire. Not consumed. It's when השנה ביר בו איש, ומדוע לעבר השנה, the birth are differently interpreted. When השנה ביר בו איש, what does it mean? Burns with fire is a flame. ומדוע לעבר השנה does not mean what does the snare burn. Why the snare is not consumed, you know that. But actually what Mashiach didn't understand is not why the snare is not consumed. מדוע לעבר השנה, why the whole snare is not surrounded by fire. All in the middle. The fire burned in the middle. The fire usually, I mean, extends. I mean, a fire moves on to safe days, for most of him, a fire keeps on moving on him, and here the fire was arrested. In prison, it was reposed in the middle of the snare. better place he did not understand. It's interesting. The fire was in the middle of the snare, and the Malach Hashem was the Labas Eish Niteicha snare. He reposed in the heart of the fire, which is the Teicha snare. The Vayirei Malach Hashem was the Labas Eish in the heart of the fire. The heart, usually when you say, means the center. The Niteicha snare, and the fire reposed in the middle, it's like two concentric circles. There was a snare, let us say, in one circle, then there was the fire right here in center, and then, and the Malach Elohim, yeah. What did it symbolize? This is abstract and positive, no doubt about it. What did it show? You know, what is the symbolism of the snare? The way I interpreted it. The way I interpret it. Why did I reach out for that interpretation? Why is it so important, so relevant to our body, you start with trying to not be sorry enough, huh? It means, it is very funny. It is a bush, thorn bush, which is completely worthless. The thorn, the outside. Inside, in the middle, in the center, there was a fire which could not be extinguished. But unfortunately, the fire was imprisoned in the middle, in the center. The snare did not catch the fire. The exterior was cold like any other bush in the desert. The fire was hidden. Within the snare, in the center of the snare, it was hidden in the fire. But the snare, the whole snare, was not at one. But it is symbolic of whom? Of whom is it symbolic? Of the Jews in the Christ. That's what God showed him. They are not of the fire, are they? Their essence, their awareness, their inner questing, and their aspirations are not those of a body, under no surface. In the deep recesses of their personality, in the center of every Jew, in the hidden center of every Jew, I mean, in the center of the personality, there is a fire burning. The trouble with them is that there is a conflict between the teich and the snare. The teich is hot, the teich is a flame, the teich is a fire, but the exterior remains cold and hides the fire. Somehow the fire cannot reach the exterior. It may share doubt, may share doubts about the eligibility of the Jew as far as freedom is concerned. He thought the Jew is an enemy. He had a very unpleasant experience. The Schmidt remark in Shivri and Snake and Mitzvah. A very bad experience. But that's why Meshe was in despair that the Jew, I mean, is not worthy of Bure. He doesn't deserve. He's not deserving of Bure. That's the first revelation he encountered. It was a very strange revelation. In the middle of fire, the outside cold and dark. The appearance of the bush is like any other song in the desert. However, in that bush, in the middle, in the recesses of the personality, in the center, there was a fire burning. It means the Jew as the fire, the ecstasy of the Jew for God, his commitment to the past has never been extinguished in the Jewish life. All what happened, it was not visible. It was invisible. It was covered up. Meshe couldn't understand, Madua leziva rasne. If there is a fire in the middle, the fire should catch on in the exterior as well. And if the exterior is cold, it's not a flame, apparently there's something wrong with the fire in the middle. That's what did God tell him? very egoistic as far as the army is in Israel. The Chazal says, Atorei Riyachas, you see my people in Israel, just at the surface, but Nirei Eshkeri, I penetrate into the depth. Once you penetrate into the depth of a Jew, no matter how repugnant his exterior is, no matter how subordinated he is to the Negus, his master, but in depth, the Jew in depth, it's blessing for freedom and blessing for the world. But duality, this is a miracle. The Jew always has. It's a story now, we have suffered a great deal. The exterior of the Jew does not reflect his inner worldliness and his actually his depth existence. The exterior of the Jew, on the contrary, contradicts. What do you see about the exterior of the Jew? What do you see? What is going on here with you? Persons that are shrewd, commercially capable, cunning, the tremendous lust for money. I mean, those are the usual, accusations of the deal of particular against the Jew. When the Jew is indicted, or charges are held, and he's completely sly, the Jew. The Jew is very clenched. He has no sympathy for anybody but for his own clan and so forth. Yeah. And the Jew is ugly, the Jew is dirty, the Jew is not clean. We don't have to repeat all this. You all know, It is as old as Haman or all the anti-Semites in Alexandria during the Second Temple. And sometimes the Jew's exterior is not too attractive. But within the Jew, there is a way. The Jew himself has never become a Eved Pari. He's only a Eved Leib Pari. Avodim Yidnuli Pari. But he himself was a free man. But he was in the time of oppression. Now interesting. But in the Kolonu Chachamim, Kolonu Nevenim, Kolonu Skenim, Kolon Yidin Tateiro, Mishra and Lissapa Bitsir Petraim. Kolon Marva Lissapa Bitsir Petraim, Arazem Mishubach. All the goddess, all the goddess in manuscript, in Saryad, don't have the Kolon Skenim. It's a few Kolon Chachamim, Kolon Nevenim, Kolon Yidin Tateiro, Mishra and Lissapa Bitsir Petraim. And when you read after the sentence, the Skenim is superfluous. It's a Chachamim Nevenim and Yidin Tateiro. I mean, that Christian was added much later. Much later. They say that even the God of the Rambam, even now, text, we have the Kolonis Kenim. But the trouble was with the printers. The printers of the God of the Rambam, they didn't care about the unique text of the Agode, or they took an Agode, another Agode, and they just set it aside. Yes. So sometimes the text in Rambam is not reliable because many printers and many scribes, when it came to liturgical text, the Siddha of the Rambam is not reliable now because we don't know what belongs to the Rambam's unique Siddha or what the printers have adapted some other Siddha. But they say the old Agoda, the sacred goldsmith Agoda lately, he has examined many texts. He says that the Kolonu Skenim is much a later addendum, but actually it's on the Kolonu Chachamim, Kolonu Nevenim, Kolonu Yedim, etc. As a matter of fact, what does it remind you of? Kolonu Chachamim, Kolonu Skenim, Kolonu Nevenim, Kolonu Skenim. What does it remind you of? Remind you of something. What does it remind you of? Yes? Do I write something? Correct. I was first taking the Psalm of the Kisita. The Amale is a... They corrosive shim the power of the Nuri del Fuhr of Matri Yudo, but Malay say Ruach Elohim the Chokh of the Sin of Adas. The Chokh of Elohim. Yes. Chokh of Bin Adas, this trail appears in many, occurs in many sections of the Bible. Chokh of Bin Adas. As a matter of fact, this tripartite division of human intellectual capacity plays a very important role in Kabbalah. I mean, you know the Hasidic movement of Chabad, which actually revolves about that tripartite division of human, the human intelligence. Chokhmah bin Adas. What's even interesting is, what is Chokhmah bin Adas? Here is a controversy, I mentioned it many times here, a controversy between Rashi and the Balei Kabbalah. But basically it's not, the controversy is not related to the tripartite division. Everybody accepts it. The only question is, what does Chokhmah represent, what does Bino represent, or what does Das represent? While it is what Chokhmah represents according to Chokhmah Kabbalah, Das represents according to Rashi. And that's only different. But the process of cognition, intellectual process of understanding, consists of three phases. Chokhmah Bino Das. I mean, whoever was the attend the lecture should know what are the three phases. All right? Class, you know? That's why you're sleeping. All right. So what? So it means the first stage of knowledge. I mean as a creative scholar. I don't mean a scholar to plagiarize. But a creative scholar is what is intuitive, intuition, certain intuition. It's very hard to describe what it is. But wherever this comes, this typical intuition, is a result of many years of work and of perfect knowledge and expertise. A certain field, I mean, it's not given to man just gratis. Yes. It's a result of human involvement in a certain branch of knowledge, human involvement. Astronomer is involved in the mechanics of the heavens, a mathematician, or the physicist, or the historian, also Chachmei Torah possesses. First of all, when you come across a difficult text, or a difficult problem in Torah, I'm at home here. So when you come across a Gemara text, which makes no sense, at first glance, you don't know how to move, what to move, and how to do it. You're all confused. And you may walk around with this problem for days, months, and the problem weighs heavily on you. If you don't care about the problem, you'll never witness that flash of light later. And you are worried, and you are concerned. You wake up at night and you keep on thinking about the problem. This is the way how to become a scholar, and there's no other way. Not a fellow in every field. A classic example, one is not a scholar. And suddenly, it begins to bother you very much. Once, at night, sometimes in the morning, a light goes on, a flash of light. Just as the Rambam describes it in Eretz Yisrael, for a split second. And you see light, just a twinkling light, at an endless distance. So, and you begin to walk. You don't know how and what, but there is a light there, and you walk straight toward the light. This is your destination. You don't know yet how to solve the problem. You don't know yet what categories to use. You don't know yet how to approach it. It's still as mysterious as before. But you begin to move. And you move on. The closer you come to the light, the clearer, the intuition begins to turn into a notion. Intuition into a notion. And you begin to see, what shall I say, certain patterns. And little by little, the intuition is converted into discursive thinking, into clear, logical thinking. Chokhmah is this intuitive approach. The original flesh of life. It's a feeling, it's not a thought. It is a vision, not an idea yet. But this is the source of creativity. The Chachmei Kabbalah called it the Kudet Admoe. This is the point, dimensionless. I'm not dimensionless, dimension to the point. You can't do much with it. But this is the spring well out of which wisdom comes. The first stage is the intuition. This is Chokhmah. interesting rashes ruachatelis. So it is this intuition is a reflex of the infinite, of the infinity wisdom of God. It's a reflex, definitely. Otherwise, you come to be incomprehensible. Then, of course, with this intuition, you can't do much. This intuition, little by little, gradually, develops into a system of thought, into theory, into theory. This is Dino. Dino means amazing double material double. Some scholars are wonderful as far as creation are concerned. But they have difficulty in working out the intuition, developing it into a system. I believe I told you that. I knew very well he was a former pupil of my grandfather. But later he was the assistant to Albert Einstein, Dr. Bonner. They published a lot together about the gravitational theory, gravitational and the electromagnetic field, and so on. Einstein's dream of finding a common formula for both theories. So he told me many times, Einstein, when it comes to working out the problem, to developing a theory and to formulate it, particularly in mathematical terms, mathematical equations, he has great difficulty. What is great is intuitive approach. I remember I used a German term from Genesis that Schauen means to behold the vision. That Schauen. He sees something. Then you have to have a pool of assistants who work it out. From these are the creative scholars. The creative scholars. It is the very beginning. At the same gracious born in the mind of Torah, how does the Torah your sound in self and break it? The Chuchmah. It is the origin. The birth. But it's born a little city. Then you begin to develop it, to convert it into something. This is it. Some scholars on the contrary, they lack creation, but are excellent in explaining, formulating, systematizing, and classifying knowledge. Excellent. You know that? Among the daily soil also. Take for instance, my grandfather, his greatness was also in creation. That's all he revolutionized the whole methodology of philosophy. The way we study and how we study is what it is. Without him, we wouldn't be able to study now. But his greatness was in intuition. He used to see things. On the contrary, in explaining, he was not perfect. That's why his book is so difficult. The Bishop of Nachayim Alevi, because in expounding knowledge, he makes it very difficult. But the creative approach, and then this is Chokhmah, and that, then of course, then that means the application. There is theory, and there is applied theory. Means technology. Some people are neither great as far as intuition is concerned, nor great as far as intuition is the breakthrough. As far as developing an idea, formulation, classification, but are great as far as taking concepts and converting them into machines, into tools. With a man like Edison, he was not a great scholar in the sense of basic research or actually an intuitive approach or Dino or Cosmos, the basis was an application. It's a translation of the metric relations in the balance, the electron balance. This is that. Amazing double, the clear double. Interestingly, the Rashi has the same tripartite division, but in the opposite direction. Rashi says, the Chokhmo, Mashrodom Shemei Advorim, the one it means, he applies them. To the Tuno, amazing double material double, it means developing. To the Das Ruach HaKedah. So the difference is between the Chachma, Kabbalah, and Rashi, not as far as the tripartite division of the intellectual process is concerned, but as to nomenclature Atont Rashi starts with that and ends with Chochmo, and for the Chachma Kabbalah he starts with Chochmo and ends with that. In the intuitive thinking, the spiritual thinking, and the practical thinking. So you see, Abendas, what do you mean Abendas? In the great scholar. What do you mean Abendas? Common sense, a lot of common sense. Common sense means the sense of application. So what do you say now? Afilu kolonu chachomim, kolonu neveinim, kolonu skenim. What means? The intuitive genius, the man of intellectual capacity to develop and to formulate and to organize and systematize. But kolonu yidin kateira, what does it mean for yidin kateira? We can apply aloha to yiroi. There are certain scholars who can't apply aloha to yiroi. There are wonderful scholars and shears of that. But come and ask them a question about needling, what shall I say, the intestines of a chicken, they don't know how to approach it. I know many like that. Some people on the contrary are excellent in applying the aloha to practical in certain situations, but let them deliver a share, they wouldn't do it. Simply they lack the ability. So he introduces here three types of power. The power of the creative genius, the power of the developer, who can formulate, explain, systematize, and the power who can apply. All of them are supposed to work. You engage in the study of this exercise, because in the narration you don't need power to engage in telling a story. The subject of the Tiras Mitzrayim should be studied under three aspects, namely one, the Chochem, creative aspect, the aspect of developing, of development, intellectual development, and systematization, and the aspect of practical application. The Tiras Mitzrayim is a great study, basically the Tiras Mitzrayim is the study of the Jewish people. Study of the Jewish people. The Jewish people as a nation, the nation was born in the tribe. Pesach at night, Pesach night is the night of the birth of the people. Well, after some alone, we study the Jewish people, its destiny, its future, past and present, its aspirations and support under three aspects. Every scholar can contribute to share. The Chochom, of course, can see in the whole thing. Which are invisible to others. You can see new lights go on. The knowing can develop and systematize and develop the whole philosophy, the whole doctrine of Jewish history, of Jewish faith and destiny. And the Yiddish that they have can apply it to present problems, to our acute situation, to the events of the day. It is the time, not just a story of an event in which life in the dark past. It is the doctrine of the Jewish people. It's our philosophy, our history. It is actually the outlook on the world of the Jewish people. And that is that the whole process of intellectual understanding can be applied, beginning with this problem and concluding with that. In the field of the tribe. Everyone. Right to them. Light to the Rabbalah. The Rabbi Yeshua Rabbalah of the Nazareth. Interestingly, the Gemara in Gittin gives characteristics of those Chachamim. Rabbi Lozar Zal Shalom Gezi. Rabbi Lozar is like a pile of nuts. You touch one nut, the whole pile begins to roll, falls apart. Rabbi Lozar was just asking one question. He used to introduce so many quotations, so many proofs, and he used to look upon it, upon this question from a variety of angles, and under different variety of aspects. Zal Shalom Gezi. And Rabbi Akiva Shechazal is systematized. Here is about that. then we support on each of them represented a unique approach. And he says that Drupa, all those performers, studied to see if we tried all night. Each one made his own contribution to the people who see us in trial. Rather as a result contribution, rather to his own contribution, to support us. It means that every form, every novel, and every idea that there is should make his contribution. So in other words, you see us with trying, you see us with trying at this level, you know, in what kind of a mitzvah it is, our mitzvah is very democratic one. It means everybody can have a share in this mitzvah. Or if it's true, it's a democratic mitzvah. Everyone lays the same truth, and everyone engages the same performance. Is it so or not? Democratic? What do you call exoteric? Is there a difference between the film with Gabriel Agoyen, laid an Izarem in head, or the film with a woodchopper or a water drawer in the only way? So what difference? The same is true as matter. Everybody is the same as is more, right? Right. The same thing. There is one mixing of error which is not exoteric, but exoteric. It is limited as motive. And you cannot equate here. This is a mitzvah one. Talmud Torah. The Talmud Torah is an esoteric performance. No matter how free the admissions to City University of New York will be, no matter. No matter how open the gates of all American universities will be, that meet every idiot university to that. Yes. Education will remain esoteric. The bright boy will understand more, will accomplish more, and society will derive more from his education than from the education of a stupid or sluggish or what shall I say, or dull boy. I will be asked many questions. Why is it so? Why aren't all boys and all girls bright and brilliant and sweet as far as comprehension is concerned? It's a good question. I don't say it's not. But facts remain facts. You cannot alter facts. Talmud Torah cannot be here. The way you see, Sifrei Kis Mitzrayim is the place of Talmud Torah. And Sifrei Kis Mitzrayim shall say, it becomes very aristocratic. An esoteric mitzvah. The Chochom contributes his share. Their Novin contributes his share. Their Yudea. Das contributes each share. What about the person who is neither a Chochem, nor a Novin, nor Yudea Satere? What should he do? It is the problem about Talmud Torah. Government, no revolution. Chinese revolution, I don't care. Russian revolution, American revolution, the Black revolution will not change them. The same as the revolution of women, I mean, the liberation movement should not change the fact that women will have to conceive and be pregnant, not men. It cannot be changed with them. A certain fact, certain realities cannot be changed, no matter how resentful we are. That knowledge, some people are privileged, and some people are underprivileged, that cannot be denied on you. So now you speak about Chachomim, Nevenim, and Saints. It's a privileged group, it's an esoteric group, it's an aristocracy, it's a spiritual aristocracy. And the Balagode says each one should make his contribution. But just one, will you put down your hand on it? And as to confirm it, we throw the story about these scholars who were engaged in people in the theater. Wonderful. What about the plain Jew? What about the ignorant Jew? What about the Jew? Neither a novel, nor a chokham, nor a yedeh, What shall he do? The problem is related not only to Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is just an expression of Talmud Erech. So who has a share in the Torah? Who has a share in the Torah? Only the Chochom, the Novi, or the Yegeya Satero, or every Jew has a share in the Torah. Exactly. How do you know that? Perhaps only the Chochom? How do you know that? Correct. Eretz Yisrael on a Meshe, the Rosh HaKilas Yaakov. That's what it means. It is the heritage of the entire community. But how? Just a moment. Right away we begin to say, Baruch HaMokim, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemassam Teir Olam Yisroel. That is strange. My son will begin to praise his name, Baruch HaMokim, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemassam Teir Olam Yisroel. There is already a reservation here, namely what? There is a retreat here. You did retreat here. Of course, the Tere, the Chochom, the Novim, and the Yideus HaTere, those capable men, brilliant men, the geniuses, have a big share in the Torah. No doubt about it. The share with the Vilna Goyim has, the Rambam, is quite big and substantial, no doubt about it. No one denies. No one denies the importance of Gedolei Yisrael, of great minds, sharp minds, of people of intuitive capacity and systematizers, classifiers, and formulators of the law, not it. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah not only to the scholars, and not only to the great minds, but to every Jew. Neged avo von zvonim divrotera. Who are they? Chochom, Rosho, Tamshe Rishu. Basically, they are not four. They are two pairs. They are two pairs. How will you classify those four zvonim? They're a tactile, everybody knows them. Correct. Yes. Because what does Tommy mean? Chacham does not mean in the sense Chacham is capable. Capable. Understand? It's more a potential than actual wisdom. In a young boy, Chacham is the potential. Yes. Why is that some the contrast of the Chacham? Why do you say it? I mean, it's correct. Why do you say it? Ah. Tommy is the doubt son, the doubt. So the filter, we have got to prove it, we can say it. The filter, instead of Tam, uses the term Kiddush. Don't it? Does not. You could have some doubts about the meaning of Tam, but there is no doubt about the meaning of Kiddush. You know all the Kiddush. In doubt, sluggish. So he is the opposite side of Kohan. No, what is? But then you have a pair, it's not the next, the second pair is not contrast. It's more they are complementary. Namely, the Rosh Hashanah Yedei Elisha. What is the Rosh Hashanah? Rebellion. The reject. Fine, what? Yes. May I rebel? Rebellion. Yes. What is Hashanah Yedei Elisha? Not concerned, what? Change the equals mean such immediate. Retarded that he doesn't know how to ask. I mean, it's not correct. Okay. I'm concerned. It might be a genius, but he's unconcerned. He's unconcerned. He doesn't ask questions because he's not interested. But Tom is interested. But Tom is for curiosity, but it's for curiosity of a down person. But I can't really show. In the Chochom, I would have the Chochom associated with the people. And the Rosh is the Tam, the Shani Dei Elisha. So what is actually the idea of this whole story? What's the idea of the whole story? Correct. But the Tere on one hand is esoteric, on the other hand the Tere is also very democratic, very esoteric. Everyone has access to the Tere, everyone has a share. The Chochom has a share, you teach him, you teach him the way you should. It means Talmud-Teirah. I was supposed to teach my children, to educate them. What it is, how should I be guided? How much am I supposed to teach my children about Teirah? How much? How much will I teach? What's the answer? How much they are capable, as much as they are capable to comprehend that similar. But this is the negative of all body, Dibra Teirah. Echad Chochom, the Chochom who can assimilate much more. So what is simple you see of Mitzrayim or Talmud Torah in general? What does it mean for him? What does it mean? If a boy can, his capacity is quite unlimited. So what do you teach him? What do you teach him? If you have a boy with a good head on his shoulder, what do you teach him? No, I mean, you don't know. You teach him Gemara? Yeah, Gemara copies, don't you? You're teaching Gemara. So what are you supposed to do with the Bechachem? Bechachem? Ba'afato emor le'kiyuchel tapetach. Teach him the whole Masechet Pesachim. He is capable, brilliant, has capacity, great capacity for comprehension, for understanding. Just teach him the whole Dini Masechet. You know how the brain interprets in Achilu Machaset HaFetumah? Add! Because that Achilu Machaset HaFetumah is not the last, the one before the last. The one before the last Mishnah Tzachim. I can't help it the way. It means teach him everything you know about Tzachim. About Chomesh, about Matzah, about what not, about everything else. And it is not another answer. You see, people ask, that in Rav Chana and the answer which is given to the Chochom differs from that in that God, it's not correct. Rav Chana is Dvorim Hei Vov, Dvorim, yes, Zion, Dvor. In Sholcho Bin Chomocho Leino Amoedis Lachukim Amitpotim, as a Tivu Ad Hashem Alakeinu Eschem, Vomarto Levin Chavod Megid Nefar Ad Nesroim, Vaitein Hashem Nesroim, ויצון הייתי משום, ויצמין על שם לעשות את כל החוקים האלה, להיר לנו את כל היומים, קיים הזה, ובדוק אותי לנו, כי מישנה לעשות את כל המצווה הזה. So speak about חוקים and מצווה. So about חוקים and מצווה, so how, so what do you mean? So you have to teach him the חוקים and מצווה. So what do you explain to the Chochem? What actually is the content of the answer of the synopsis? Of the answer to the Chochem. What is it in absence? According to what the Torah says, what is it in absence of the answer to the Chochem? Oh. Never heard such an uncooperative question. Nice. Well, I could say it in a lecture, but it didn't even accomplish much. I wanted to get it out of you. What is the synopsis of the answer, the digest of the answer to the Chochem? Mandel, what's the digest of the answer to the Chochem? All right, I'll do it the way I do in class. I'll call. What is the digest? What does the Torah say, not the Baal HaGodes? I'm asking, what does the Torah say you are supposed to answer the Chochem? About Yetzias Mitzrayim. That the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim is not the gift of political freedom or determination of poetry. There was a higher purpose for Yetzias Mitzrayim. Namely, what? Actually, to elevate the elected people, the Agei Kodesh, the Chumash said, the Torah says it in snake. The Zelacho Eis, the Tzahach Oesohom, Tavdu Nesarikim Malor Azeh. The chinuch says, what is the Zelacho Eis and Chanech Eis? Eis means something to be proven. The chinuch says, the Zelacho Eis means, and this is the purpose. Not Eis, this is the sign. This is the purpose. If you want to know what the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim is, you are making a mistake if you think Yetzias Mitzrayim is just to give political freedom to slaves and to take them out of bondage. And that's all, and they should just lead a free life. This is not the purpose. The purpose is to take those slaves and convert them into a great Kodesh. Mamlechet Kenes. Why did that Kodesh go for telecommunication? Because nation didn't want to go. Do you know that Kenneth Alfari? Jason is on the train. He was not qualified. Rachel thought that the tears of trying is only a question of negotiating with Sparrow. Of course, with Sparrow, Rachel thought that someone else could do a better job than him. He was a cliché, couldn't talk, couldn't speak. Anyway, Rachel felt undeserving of that honor. So when you have to go ahead and answer it follows. If the purpose were actually be taking the Jews out of the tribe, perhaps you would be right. Because perhaps as a political negotiator, I would have found somebody else. More capable, more eloquent than you. I mean, who is more versed in the protocol matter, and knows how to talk and how to negotiate with Jews. But the purpose of the Jews in the tribe is not the political determination of slavery. The purpose of the Jews in the tribe is what? But the Zelakhoi, what is the purpose? The sin is a terror. So I need not a political leader, I need a rebel. A good teacher, a good Melamed. And as a Melamed is nature of that one. That's what answer, that's how the Chinuch is done. The Zelakhoi is the purpose to wear political, to the grant of political freedom, I wouldn't kill you. The hundreds of Jews who speak to Jews can better than you. And they can negotiate with parents at the much more skillfully than you. But I don't need a political messenger here. The tribe that usually I'll take the Jews out of the tribe. Whether you succeed in your negotiation with parents, you'll fail is completely irrelevant, maybe. It's just an experiment on my part, but that's all, I don't care. Failure or success means nothing. But the Zelakhoi, the purpose of the Jews in the tribe is the Tiacha is all the Tavnus Lekim al Ora Zeh. Seven and prime is to receive the Torah and to teach the people a new way of life. So I need a great teacher. A great teacher, you are the best. So what do you say to the Ben Chochom in Chumash? What did the Ben Chochom call the Chumash? The Marshal of the Incha, what did the Tavnus Lekim al Ora Zeh? The Tavnus Lekim al Ora Zeh, 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 he's punishing me, he's penalizing this place. Then I took the people out of the tribe. But what was the purpose? Just to terminate the status of slavery, to deliver them from the bondage, this was not the purpose. The son of Ishmael, the man of the son of the son by Savin, the Shem, the for a in my לגיור את הישן אלה כאינו, לכן יפים את הימים הזה, לבדוק אותי לא מתמיש מלאש את כל המיץ הזה, זאת אומרת, 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 So what does the Balak Bode answer the Ben Chochem? Lafato and Mole. Don't tell him the story of Israel. It's only trying to dump a day is all right, but not you have more important things for us. The fact was teaching the Aluch is full of Tere to it. Because the Tere is. You see that Tere was the purpose and the goal which after this goal was pursued. When he decided to take the Jews out of the tribe, he said, the fact was emulate, he was a Pesach. All Aluch is. Including even the Aluch is in the name of Tere and the Pesach. After 2 months. This is the answer. It's the one kind of Talmud era. This is real Talmud era. So what do you tell? Let us take the contrast of the Chochem. The Tam, what do you tell the Tam? What do you tell the Tam? You can't teach him this 2 years. I'm afraid I gave him kind of Harvard. You can't teach the Tam. But that Tam has no head for the murder. So what do you have to tell him? Tell him at his level, at his level, at his level. Don't try to be sophisticated. And don't try to keep the Tam safe in the city. So it wouldn't work. You can't do that. You are duty bound to teach the Tam those things which he is capable of comprehending. Don't overdo it. Don't overdo it. And if he comprehends only the chesed, the yod, the tzion, the shem, the mitzrayim, it is good enough for him. two different kinds of Salvatera. One Salvatera, the highest intellectual level, Sami, the prodigy, a genius. Another kind of Salvatera at the lowest level. And you'll ask me, which is more important? For which, what shall I say, for which effort will be more rewarded? Whose effort will be more rewarded? The effort of the father who has a brilliant son and teaches him not only this way, puts him on the teaches him hundreds of blood demore on him. And a son who has a father who has a son limited, sluggish, dull. All he can teach him is a Pasuk Kumit and tell him his story, or translate the Shemnesre part of the Shemnesre to him, that's all. Which he cannot accomplish. If you love me, is the father of the town, who is deserving of a greater reward than the father of the Ewe, the genius. Baruch Enosan Tero, Le'ame Yisroel. You know what Am means? What is Am? The average person. Am is always the average person, the naked, the crowd. The crowd has every share in it. But Am belongs to the crowd. And you have two talks. The theory is not just esoteric, aristocratic, it is only a spiritual aristocracy. But the theory caters to the calm and to ignorance and to the limited person. It is the sluggish person, it is the doubter. This is two kinds of solitaire. Then you have two more kinds of solitaire. And anyway, this is trying the symbol of solitaire. You see, Baruch HaMokim Baruch Hu, Baruch Shlechem Teirol Anu Yisrael. What else? What are you supposed to do the Sheni Yedei Elihu? How can you teach the Sheni Yedei Elihu? Atzach, what it means? The mystery of Talmud Torah is to arouse, not only to teach. When a person is curious, but to arouse curiosity as well. To stimulate inquisitiveness in the person. Some people can do it. Good teachers can do it. Good teacher can not only teach when the student comes and sits down at his feet and lifts his eyes to the teacher and follows every syllable. Such students don't exist nowadays. I don't know. I have a lot of experience here. Don't believe. But you have to be capable of arousing their curiosity. Arousing stimulation. It's also Talmud there. Talmud there is the father of succeed, father of teacher, to arouse the curiosity, to stimulate it. It's somehow, to implant an interest and concern for Torah is also Talmud Torah. What about the Russian? There is an answer to the Russian, or there is no answer to the Russian. What do you say? You have three answers, you have three approaches formulated. One to the Chochom, total Talmud Torah. One to the Tam, limited Talmud Torah, elementary. One to the Sheni Yedei Elihu. Not a question of Talmud Torah, it's a question of arousing curiosity, concern in the world. Or love for the Torah. You see, sometimes you don't succeed in educating the person, but somehow the main point is still loving. This is also Talmud Torah. As a matter of fact, the Bach says, our Bruch is a very beautiful Torah, a very strange Bruch. As some say, it's one last thing in the Torah. The Bruch has been formulated. As some says, it's one who will make the repair. Was it lasting with the repair? He says, will make the repair if the repair had formulated. So then the great scholar would have a greater share of the repair than the ignorant person. Lasting with the repair, he says, is not only to study and to support and to be committed and to help build. This will have to be the repair. This means that when you realize, bring them to the teacher now. But you can see more something. But the father could see in the singing in the sound, he was preparing. Even if he didn't teach him much, it's good enough. What about the Russian? But in general, I mean, you said about it some other time, does the Russian actually, is there a separate approach to Russian, or the Russian should be ignored?
What do you think?
The Russian should be ignored? No. If you repeat that, what is? Bapato Akris, you know, when you lay Baba Versus and read the book from the coin, leave it away, loyal son, the Hoya Nida. Is it an answer addressed to the Russia, or a complete rejection of the Russia? It means the Russia don't have to teach them. Yes, yes? Yes, correct. But it's actually seen as an answer. Actually, I mean, many are going to, some are going to see. Oh, it costs him from unity. That's how it is still, I mean. In some quarters I saw, is he cost him? Actually, it's actually, but actually. Actually, it's a cost. Actually, if you listen to that, how it is still. You understand, this is not a recommendation, but it's not like that. Never use physical violence. And certainly, as a nice behavior, if you use physical violence, you will be out of context. The whole spirit of the light. It is hakei. Hey, good, hey, has been hakei. What is yechu beisha, v'shinei avonim tikeno? What does it mean, what is yechu beisha? The father is your food. What is v'shinei avonim tikeno, what does it mean? Thou become God. That means that hakei v'shinei means. This is argument. We just all argument. This proved that. It means that, you know. Engage them in a discussion and disprove all his arguments, dispute all his arguments. The Russia has a number of arguments. The Russia's arguments are very simple and very understandable. I mean, now, let us look at that. Your duty is not to ignore. You have to bring them back. To convince him that he's wrong. It cannot be done within one eye. You're in the seminary. It may take years. But this is, as I told you, people should be trying to start with her. A factor is, I think, you know, what is the main argument? And the theory recommends the one argument, really. What is the main argument? How you can convince the Russia? The main, all right, you know, I don't know. Yes, 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 that's what I'm going to say. But what is the argument? Another answer. Yes. Yes, that is perfect. Yes. Not just the universe. That's the unity. No, I don't mean that. Some people believe it is not. I don't believe in the rejection of people. Huh? The Russia, you see, why is the Russia? Why is the Russia? Just ask exactly. Because there are two versions in there. Russia, Mawainer, Mahaveda, Zikoha. Yochem, the Lelay. You see, Shikoha, the Yiker, Eti, Atsu, in a class. You see, one version. Then there is another one. Russia, Mawainer, Mahaveda, Zikoha. You see, the Eti, Atsu, in a class, Shikoha, the Yiker. Asatu, Atsu, you know? It means like that. The Russia says Lohem. It means he excludes himself from his destiny. He doesn't believe in the unity of the two people as far as his spiritual destiny is concerned. Sometimes the Rambam describes Aperis Vedata Silo, Aperis Vedata Silo, he might be very observant, however, if he excludes himself from Jewish historical history, he thinks that he is unique, and anyone has no compassion for the suffering of the climate for the Aperis Vedata Silo, if he's the beautiful, he sees the issue, he's actually applauded, What I do here, that's what the Rambam calls Eretz Vedaat Yisrael. It means there is no law as far as his observance is concerned. The problem is that he is not included in the Jewish community. He says Rambam, he does not have compassion in the world, he does not search when there is a disaster strikes, he doesn't rejoice in their triumphs, in their moments of happiness. Or he looks the effort we do, or he thinks that he is different. Yeah. This is one kind of error. Then there is another version of that. This is the first argument for if he actually in a cloud. What kind of error is he? He breaks his observance. When he breaks his observance completely, he will finally exclude himself from the Jewish community, and then finally, what I say, cut off the last bond between himself and the community. So what do you want? The Jew outside of the Jewish community is a tragic thing. If you say, if you actually not all such a big deal, by the way, I said, we should leave you alone, you know, your family, how you need. But a man, as somebody said, a man who is not observant, does not take up his birth. And a man who simply does not unite himself with the community is an unhappy person. He may not realize it immediately, but he's an unhappy person. I always say, I've never been in a lesson many agnostics that come in contact with them. When they say that they are agnostics and unobservant, the very verity of our, the very axiomatic truth of our denied by them, and rejected by them, they never aroused wrath in me against them. Never. Never. I was never angry with them. But I shouldn't be angry because the people are not to be blamed. They were brought up in 18th home, in a domestic society, I mean, how could you expect them to become people of faith, men of faith? See, they have no opportunity. But I always they are out in a great city. Sympathy. Because the most beautiful experience of the human being, the experience of speaking up of his voice, is unknown to them. And this is basically the only approach nowadays, modern one is an agnostic. That's what I mean, the street is agnostic. The so-called pseudo-scientism is agnostic. Science atheistic. The only approach is somehow to prove to God, and by having faith in God, and surrendering to the world, he enhances his own existence, his own happiness. That's the argument we have. After MLA, Baba Zerach assembly the place in the time, he will hold his father and hold his God. He is a place to himself. To himself. He's a place. Modern man is a place to himself. Many ways, modern man is a place to himself economically. He's so involved in business. Intoxicated with the idea of making good in the business world, of accumulating wealth and riches, that he becomes a slave in business, relatively suddenly. Some people are afraid to dash a call to public opinion. You know, I'm just afraid. Some people are afraid to self esteem. I know people who do not believe that you are unhappy with them, so they are afraid of self esteem. No one man, you have all reasons to be happy. Be the unhappiest person because you say that's a fact. That's a fact. Not a lesser person. Paralysis is afraid of paralysis. Some of their phobia, malignancy phobia, the cancer phobia. It is actually overwhelming or overpowering. It's not limited to some people. It's actually a phobia which many suffer from. When a person reaches middle age,
and so forth and so on. This is, as I said, Avodim Oyinu Mitzrayim V'Mitzrayim. Everyone is an Eretz. His own fears, his own ambitions, his own, what shall I say, his own involvement in economic life. Everybody is afraid. Yiru Hoyosh, and it wouldn't happen to go for his bullet. Yiru Hoyosham, or Nidor. This is the argument. But this argument cannot be just used once. It's a question of re-educating. This also a part of Talmud Eretz. The Talmud Eretz is far taken. Let us pray. Talmud Eretz is the stage of the Chochom at the highest level. Talmud Eretz at a very primitive level. Talmud Eretz not instilling knowledge, but instilling love, instilling the daily shale. And Talmud Eretz are bringing the one who got lost. The son who was alienated. Back to the fall, we don't have Talmud Eretz. Huh? In the Russia now? In the Russia, but there is a potential in the Russia. There is a potential. This is exactly what Talmud Eretz is. And interestingly, we say Baruch HaMokhim, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemashim Teir Olam in Israel, Lam Israel. Suddenly, we have changed the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Up to here, Start telling the story. Why is it changed? Yes. Yes. The idea is correct, but you don't express it well. A Kodesh Baruch Hu, who is close to Kodesh Baruch Hu? Who has the attributes of holiness? If you live the holy life, he's close to Kodesh Baruch Hu. If he alienated himself, materialistically, oriented, they seem to you, can he understand the Kodesh Baruch Hu? The Kodesh only. So who is close to Kodesh Baruch Hu? He himself realizes the attributes of the Kedusha. And here we speak about our more money. And one of them is very far from being the Kodesh Holy Man. But apparently the Kodesh Baruch Hu flows to him too, because he wants to bring him back. You know, he says, Havaya, Havaya, Yerachum Lechanun, Echo Sedem Shiyechto, Echo Lacha Shiyechto. Is because man is holy, man is pure, man is moral, ethical. But lacha shiyachta, the other lacha shiyachta, after the Baruch Hu walks away. The person does not participate in the attribute of the Kedusha. After the Baruch Hu removes himself, he disappears. But what is walking? What can she became in Shalewa? He embraces everybody. Regardless of his moral state in life, regardless of his moral attributes, whether he is good or wicked, a Kodesh Baruch Hu does not desert anybody. There is a potential in everybody to come back to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That is say, Baruch HaMokhi, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shenosan Teo, everybody is sharing the Torah. Not only the holy people, the righteous people, the great people, but everybody. Negad Avor Bonim Dibro Teiro. Lechot Chochom, Lechot Rosho, Lechot Tam, Lechot Tenmidi Elisheo. The Rosho is not close to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Because his life is not a reflection of holiness. Does not reflect holiness. But Mokim, Became a shalom, he's like this faith. Nothing is faith. After his book is symbolized by faith. Is anybody outside of faith? Cannot be outside. No one can be outside of faith. Faith is all embracing, all penetrating. Any human being, any physical object is in faith. After his book is like this faith. Embraces everybody. The person who brings me, and the person who rebels. The Baruch Hu has never deserted anyone. Baruch Hamotun, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shema Santeir Olam Yisrael. Not Santeir Olam Yisrael, not only to follow. But to the Slavic people, the down people, to the people who rebel against the Torah. He has never given them up. Every Jew has a potential, every Jew has a capacity for Shiva, every Jew who can accomplish can come there. Baruch Hamotun, Baruch Hu. Interesting is that in Dragoda we have another time where the term of Mokrein is a substitute for a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Where do you have it? If you know Dragoda by heart, yes, a lot louder. The Trilo Evdi Avedi Zore Hoy Avedi Sreinu Dimitra. I am saying it. The Akshav Shavona Mokrein Lavedose. And Rayena Yeshua Shalom, Deyom Radishem, Deyom Radishem Yoshua, Deyom Radishem Elam, Deyachavi Avrom Radinocher, Waker Sadikim Avrom Velikis, Velikis in Holeras Noam, let him eat Yitzchok, let him eat Yaki Vaisho, let him eat Safir, Yakov and Yoram Troy. Why is it? Why is it Hilo India with his Zoya, and his name was one of Mokam Avadosi? Why don't we say Mahshov? You're one of Kodesh Baruch Hu Lavid Hashem. The same reason. A Kodesh Baruch Hu wouldn't have touched Terach. A Kodesh Baruch Hu wouldn't have raised idol worshippers to the level of a holy nation and the kingdom of Israel. They would have rejected them. But because he's mocking, he embraces everybody. He penetrates everybody. From whom no one can escape. Like, one cannot escape from faith. One cannot escape from God's law, from mocking him, like faith. And that's why, even the India of Israel, he brought death. The one who are mocking Lavidos. Of course, the very moment that the one who are mocking Lavidos is, we change his name from mocking into one. In Hakadosh Baruch Hu. You have it right here. Right away, Baruch Shem Ha'Rasuchos Shel Yisroel, Baruch Hu, Hakadosh Baruch Hu Chishev Zakei Plato. And there is only one thing I want to add. The story of Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Lezer and Hananiah and Rabbi Kiva, they were studied with Mizrach, and we start from the fear to try and follow each other. You know what some historians are, perhaps not historians, or not good in say, historians are too careful and too dry and too gray and too dreary to say, I mean, historians. I mean. But Magidin, once upon a time, he used to interpret this beautiful. Even though Yahweh has doubt whether this interpretation is correct or not. אז מה יש לי ברב אלעזר ורב ישוע, לא זאת אומרת, עזר ועקיד רבי טרפו שהם עשו בזמן לברק, נפרס את הפסח, נפרסיד את ה-outbreak of the insurrection on the part of בר כוכבא against Rome in 131-132. We don't know exactly the year. Next year, we will start from the year of Mitzrayim, and said before, but the tears we're trying was not only the story of the past, what happened to Pharaoh and us so many thousand years ago, but was the story of the present, what's going to happen tomorrow. And from the tears we're trying, and I told you, it's not an erasure, it's a study. You derive from the tears we're trying, certain, what shall I say, certain inferences, conclusions, which have eternal significance. The tears we're trying was, what to say, should, was supposed to guide them in their revolt against Rome. Rome was by far worse than Mitzrayim. and the people were not as strong, in particular who was missing Meisher Rabbeinu, and the missing gluing of the revelation. They say, for the suffering tears that cry in Palaisia Lila, was a long night, and the revolt against Bakokha revolt was prepared, and at that state of night. That's what Magidim used to say, Magidim at all, when you think of it. In Rabbi Kiva, when the student is with Rah, when the suffering tears that cry in Palaisia Lila, you know what some historians are, so that's not historians. Or Magidim say, the soils are too careful and too dry and too gray and too dreary to say, I mean, the soils are there. But Magidim, once upon a time, he used to interpret this miracle. Even though Yavet has doubt whether this interpretation is correct or not. As Maisi Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Nazar, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarsus, Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Yisrael, he says to the Pesach, which preceded the outbreak of the insurrection on the part of Bar Kokhba against Rome in 131, 132. We don't know exactly the year. Next, actually, in the Tzitzit Mitzrayim, I said before, the Tzitzit Mitzrayim was not only the story of the past, what happened to Pharaoh and us so many thousands of years ago, that was the story of the present, what's going to happen tomorrow. And from the Tzitzit of Mitzrayim, I told you, it's not a narration, it's a study. You derive from the Tzitzit of Mitzrayim certain maturities, certain inferences, conclusions, which have eternal significance. The Tzitzit of Mitzrayim was, so to say, was supposed to guide them in their revolt against Rome. Rome was by far worse than Mitzrayim, and the people were not as strong. In particular, who was missing Meisher Rabbeinu and the missing gluing of the revelation. They say, for the suffering tears that cry in Palaisia Lila, was a long night. And the revolt against Bakokha revolt was prepared and at that state of night. That's what Magidim used to say, Magidim at all, when you think of it. I don't know whether it's true or not, I don't know. I want you to understand something which is very important. The Rambam, when he speaks about Bar Kokhba, Bar Kokhba was killed on Tisha B'Av, you know. Better was conquered on Tisha B'Av. The Rambam says, what happened on Tisha B'Av? The muses were here, and the city was conquered, the men were lost in brothers from Israel, hundreds of thousands of Jews were killed. The death of the battle is reminiscent of the Holocaust, the Hitler Holocaust. I wouldn't say numerically. Numerically, no Jews were perished in the Hitler Holocaust. But the brutality and the total destruction was characteristic of both, of the Hitler Holocaust and of the death of massacre at the end. And then after the Bar Kokhba lost on the battle. The final battle. The Nosal, the Nerak, Meler Godel, Shaharbe Lechachme Yisroel, Dimu, Shumela Hamashiach. That's how the Ram says in the Chatzai. Shumergu Alofi Mubavit in Yisroel, the Nerak Meler Godel, the great king of the two, Shaharbe Chachme Dere, many of the Chachomim in his generation, Dimu means what? Yumelach HaMashiach. Usually the Mishnah says about Bar Kokhba, Milked Oino, that's all. The thing that Tisha B'Av commemorates, the catastrophe, the disaster of Bar, not so much as far as the death of an individual is concerned, but simply because hundreds of thousands have been perished. The Rambam apparently says two things. First of all, hundreds of thousands of people were killed. And secondly, the death of Bar Kokhba alone warrants the observance of a day of grief and mourning on Tisha B'Av. So the Rambam, I once had my father, Chaim Lebracha, in name of my father, that basically Bar Kokhba had all qualifications which you are indispensable for the Melech HaMashiach.
Rabbi Akiva did not make a mistake. Rabbi Akiva of Dorach Sechot Yaakov,
it is called from Shevet Yisrael.
Rabbi Akiva interpreted that Dorach Sechot Yaakov refers to what?
Melech HaMashiach. Vakochta, he didn't make a mistake. Chas HaSholem.
Chochom Vechachman HaSeirov couldn't have made a mistake.
Basically, the Melech HaMashiach has to possess certain qualities, certain attributes, certain talents. All those talents. The Bakokhba was blessed with all those talents.
But why didn't he become the Messiah? Why didn't he bring about the Gula?
It's because circumstances.
Sometimes the Mashiach is born prematurely.
And it cannot carry out the mission.
The idea is already mentioned by the Gemara.
The Gemara says, "Rotzeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu la'asis ches tiyom melech ha-Mashiach."
God wanted to declare ches tiyom melech ha-Mashiach and to bring about the Messianic redemption during the time of ches tiyom.
The Sancherem gave him morgim.
It means ches tiyom as a person, had all the qualifications, all the talents, all the indispensable attributes for the melech ha-Mashiach.
His great judgment, his intuition, the intuition for justice, and his moral personality. I mean, as Isaiah enumerates, we'll read that fairly with the qualifications of Melech HaMashiach, the Achri for Pesach, you'll read it tomorrow. Cheski, you're ready.
That was Shalayom HaShiro. He made one mistake in the war.
Bar Kochba made one mistake. Nerak Bavelis.
What was the mistake of Kochba?
One. He was too proud.
As I'll say, they used to tell us in Israel, "Lay safe, save it, see the sailor, when you don't need your help. You perform the job ourselves."
He committed to sin, a fry, a kitchen. And that's what. And the fact that Bar Kochba committed an error, and because of that error, he did not sincerely realize his great potential of the King Messiah that warrants a separate day of festival and mourning.
So they say that was the meeting, the great assembly of the Chachamim on the night of Pesach. They studied the Tirs Mitzrayim, not only the Tirs Mitzrayim at the event of the past, but as a clue and a key to the future.
I want to say something now. As we have said before, Kippur Yetzias Mitzrayim is a symbol, it's basically not a separate mitzvah. It is integrated into what? Into the great mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Only on Pesach night, the Talmud Torah is concerned, it's only a tactical difference. The Talmud Torah is concerned with what? The yonim, the themes of Pesach there. But actually there is no difference between ordinary night and Pesach night. Talmud Torah as the continuous, what you shall say, concern of the Jew. I mean, actually, Talmud Torah, if you ask me how did the Jew survive, what is the central concern, you know, is Talmud Torah. Survival of Torah, Tefillin of Torah, transmission of Torah, the Masorah and Kabbalah, and so forth, the perpetual Torah and so forth. In my sense, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Lozo Ben Azario, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Karfun, I want you to know that times were very difficult. Rabbi Akiva was the famous martyr. Why did he sacrifice his life? Because what did the Roman Empire decree? What was the edict of the Roman Empire? Or Yasku Betero. Usually the edicts of the Roman Empire were mostly concerned with Talmud Torah. Very strange. The religious persecution, of course, embraced many aspects. Sometimes they used to decree not circumcision. But basically, the most evil of persecution was Talmud Torah. Rome understood very well without Torah, but Rome wanted to destroy the Jewish identity. And very well, Rome was not actually
Rome actually practiced religious tolerance. Rome, as a history, historically, it was not an empire run or ruled by fanatics. Fanaticism was alien to all. They only wanted to dominate the world of the Middle East, and part of Europe, politically. They didn't care about religious affairs. It's very strange. During the Bayesheni, and there were the governors from the times of Herod and down, Rome used to send in the governors, and Judea was not already a satellite. So the governor never tried to interfere with Jewish observance. Never. As a matter of fact, the famous story about the sweat, the Roman general, which was sent, the image of the Caesar, the emperor, and the Jews were asked to display the banner on the house.